Involved Financial Group.
Hour two of your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew is underway. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. Also, keep using that hashtag TCNT on Twitter. You want to communicate with the show at any time. You can follow me at Andrew Lee TCNT. He is over there at John Justice and at Sam Sansevier.
Founder and chairman of Black Americans for a Better Future, Rainer Jackson, will be joining us right around 7:35 this morning. Before that, too, we will get to Amy Klobuchar's list of over 100 things that she'll never be able to do as president.
I'd rather go through the state fair list again.
Man, we still got a lot of things on this list, you know.
It's all the same.
That is a sad list of things that she'll never be able to do.
I know.
It's so pathetic.
Now it's just like, hey guys, look at me.
Cute.
I've got 100 things over here.
That's really cute.
That's the thing, right? It's just kind of sad.
Yeah.
That's my takeaway. It was like, this is kind of sad.
It's desperate for attention.
Yeah.
We did leave off in the middle of Sam's Top 5 going through the state fair, 31 new foods, 7 new vendors.
Yeah, we were going through that list. You can find that full list at the Justice and Drew page of TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. But in other delicious food news, a CEO says a certain company has no plans at this point to add CBD to its candy. From CNBC, chocolates and gummy candy have become a popular vehicle for CBD, but the non-psychoactive cannabis compound won't be in Hershey products anytime soon. Hershey CEO Michelle Buck said that the 125-year-old company is monitoring the trend, but doesn't have any plans to add CBD to its food just yet. Buck said on Tuesday that CNBC's Squawk Box, she said, it is a huge trend, so we're evaluating it, but have no plans at this point at this time.
And I don't blame them. I mean, if I'm Hershey's, if you're one of these big, giant brands, like, they don't need to jump on that trend.
Right. People are still going to buy Hershey's chocolate no matter what.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, Hershey's does what Hershey's does, and they do it good. You know,
like, really good. Yeah. They do it really good. Advocates say CBD has a number of health benefits, from treating anxiety and helping with chronic pain.
I hear it gets you high.
It does not get you high.
I'm staying out of that one.
It doesn't get you high. Currently, the Food and Drug Administration prohibits adding the compound to food and beverages because it is a main ingredient in a drug used to treat childhood epilepsy. The agency held its first hearing in late May to better understand CBD and how to regulate it. Buck said, frankly, there's some work to do from a regulatory perspective. Currently, it is not legal to ship interstate a food product that has CBD.
I'm amazed at the amount of stuff now that it's like it has CBD in it. Everywhere you go. I was at a convenience store the other day. I had to stop to get some gas, and I go in and buy a drink, and I get to the counter and I look down at the counter, and there's these brownies on the counter, and like each individual brownie was like $8. I'm like, what the hell is with these brownies? $8 brownie? That better be an amazing. At least the sticker says it has CBD in it. Like, who would really even know?
Well, it's like it's also cyclical, right? I mean, Olestra is a bad example, but you know, it was a time when Olestra was a kick, but it wasn't sort of on a mass healthy scale. That was just more doing damage to your colon. But we look at like the gluten-free products, hemp in and of itself. Mm-hmm. There's just those trends that just cycle through, and right now it's CBD, and I think a lot of the popularity stems from the fact that a lot of people don't really know what it is. They just jump right on board. Everybody else has got CBD. I might as well CBD it myself.
And a lot of the popularity comes from, and you can tell that, you know, this is part of the marketing of it because it's on everything, is they put the pot leaf.
Yeah.
They put the marijuana leaf on the package. So I think a lot of people are just like, I'm buying a marijuana product.
Feels a little naughty.
Yeah, this is so taboo. I'm eating a taboo brownie.
I saw a seltzer water that was CBD. It was like CBD-infused seltzer water.
Did it look naughty?
It did look naughty, and I love that.
We need to jump on this CBD. You need like CBD Justice and Drew branded.
I'm down something. With that. Yeah, absolutely.
Number 5.
The St. Paul School Board is renaming a school that honored a slave-owning president.
Oh, thank goodness.
They are saving lives here, people.
This has been doing so much harm and damage to our community up until this point. Thank the good Lord Almighty.
That achievement gap should be wiped out in a month.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just wiped out completely.
St. Paul is out here saving fifis. One school name at a time.
Yeah, one emotion at a time.
Yeah, one emotion at a time.
It's like, we can't provide you with a quality education, especially if you're poor or a minority. You're, you know, you entering our school system probably means you're kind of screwed, but hey, we changed the name, so
yeah,
will you like us again?
Please like us, please.
Not only are you not getting a quality education, we're going further out of our way to make sure that you know less history.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We're wiping away any opportunities here for teachable moments whatsoever.
From the Star Tribune, the St. Paul School Board voted 6-1 Tuesday night to strip the name of a slave-owning U.S. president from one of its schools.
Yeah.
Clearly, that one person just needs to be kicked off the school board because they just got to get hip.
Just send them to Gitmo.
Yeah.
What a racist.
Send them some straight to Gitmo.
Just racist.
For a scarlet R on their uniform.
This was overriding the vocal objections of some of the school's alumni. Linwood Monroe Arts Plus. Oh, I feel so naughty even saying that. Even though I don't even know who that is. There's a dual campus school.
If you go to that school, you won't ever find out.
No, clearly not. Linwood Monroe Arts Plus is a dual campus school that decades ago was home to the former Monroe High, named in honor of President James Monroe, and will now be known as Global Arts Plus.
Good. Oh, good.
Excellent.
Oh, good.
Emotions are saved.
Your fifis are very well protected.
I mean,
there.
You're not going to learn how to read, but, you know, it's all good.
But you'll get to do lots of art.
So in doing so, slave owning never happened, right?
We've wiped
it clean.
We've successfully, the St. Paul School Board has successfully eliminated slavery in St. Paul now.
Awesome. So we don't have to worry. I know we've got House Democrats that they're talking about, you know, they're having a hearing on reparations. We're going to talk with Raynard Jackson about this later on. So with this, we don't have to do that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Maybe that can be, the reparations. Just every name that somebody once changed, we'll just change it, no questions asked.
Just start tearing out pages in history books.
Red-clad proponents push for the change to better reflect the school's arts-infused focus and diversity. Students come from all over St. Paul and all over the world. That's according to Saray Garnett Huchuli, co-chairwoman of the school's parent-teacher organization. I bet she is very great at parties. Linwood Monroe's upper grades now are housed at the former Monroe High, and that school's active alumni, the last class graduated in 1977, brought a smattering of green emblematic of the school's traditional green wave nickname and school color to the boardroom to fight the change. In the end, board member John Broderick was siding with opponents. Better kick him out.
Yeah.
Erasing the
off
name.
To Gitmo with him.
Yeah. poor John.
Plane's getting full.
Poor John Broderick. Erasing the name of a U.S. president is new to the Twin Cities name-changing conversations, and Broderick, reflecting aloud, described it as a significant and important moment that should not be rushed. He said, "Would you agree to applause from name-change critics?" Board member Steve Marches, however, said that it was time to think of the young people carving out a new future. Mr. Steve Marches said, "We respect our history, but we are not bound
not really.
To it."
Yeah,
that's like the opposite of respecting history.
Kinda.
Yeah, not even kinda.
Yeah, you know, we respect it, but we want to pretend it didn't happen.
Come on, Steve. Critics of the name change said school officials failed to follow policy requiring broader alumni and community input.
Yeah, well, if you're on the righteous side of changing names, you don't have to follow policy. That's what we learned with the whole Bidet-McCoska fiasco. Is, you know, rules and policy and processes be damned. This is what we want. We want it now, and we're just going to do it. I mean, that's exactly what they did with the Lake Calhoun. That's, you know, what they're doing here, and that's how it's been going around the country. You're offended by a name. You don't like something, you know, that's named after a historical figure that you now find distasteful based on today's standards. That's fine, you know, and I And I rarely am even going to argue against changing names because I just don't care that much to argue against it. But at least follow the processes. At least follow the rules to get it done.
Are we going to end up at a time? Well, probably not, because we need to stop naming buildings after people with all this nonsense.
I think we learned our lesson.
But I don't want to open up this jar of worms. But nobody's perfect. And I understand that there are some things, societally speaking, that are you know, worse than others when it's out there, and I get that. And this is certainly an absolutely no way, shape, or form an advocacy for slavery, but that is to say that all these people were flawed, and we keep having the same discussion, and it just amazes me that so many people are so blissfully, intellectually dishonest about what's going on just to score that point. That's the part of it that really, I'm like, wow, you people are in positions of power. You've been granted positions of power within these entities, and yet you're so intellectually hypocritical and stupid about these particular issues in your virtue signaling. It's just, it's a pathetic display, in my opinion.
Excellent job, Sam. Stellar Top 5, and thank you to Early Bird Electric for sponsoring Sam's Top 5.
Thank you.
So, an update from a story that was actually in the 5 yesterday, out of the Star Tribune. The Hennepin County Attorney's Office decided against filing criminal sexual conduct charges against the two Gophers wrestlers jailed since Saturday night while the investigation continues. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing, did you read through the 911 phone call transcript? There wasn't any specific, we'll get into it. There wasn't any specific details. So there's obviously something about the story that's missing. There's a component to the story that's missing beyond what's been released to the public. Because the 911 call was basically just a male calling on behalf of a female friend who had shown up in their apartment, incredibly distraught, making a claim. But the 911 transcript doesn't go to say specifically what that claim was. The reason I bring all this up is the fact that I'm very curious to know what the other mitigating factors were, because the Hennepin County prosecutors declined to file charges against these two individuals, but yet they were sitting in jail since Saturday night?
Yeah, that's the part that I'm a little like, I need more information.
Yes. There's got to be something else.
Because without, you're in jail for what? That would be, if they were in Saturday night, three nights in jail and no charges, that doesn't seem right to me. Maybe it's more common than I realize. I don't know. You know, while there's suspicion and there's an investigation, but you're detaining somebody, you're putting them in jail, you got to have a reason. There's got to be a reason for that.
651-989-5855 if you want to add anything to this, or perhaps some perspective or something that we're missing, also use the hashtag TCNT. The county's attorney's office said in a statement that they will work closely with the Minneapolis Police Department over the next 90 days to review the evidence against the two. Now, the attorney for one of them, Stevenson's attorney, said, "My client continues to maintain that he's innocent. He's very thankful for the careful review by the county attorney. The investigation is ongoing. The client will continue to cooperate. We're hopeful this chapter can be over so we can move forward." Minutes after the county attorney announced the decision, the St. Paul Police Department released the transcript of the 911 call that came to them Saturday. A male caller, whose name was redacted, told the 911 operator that he had a friend that at his house, and doing that thing with my fingers, that seems to be sexually assaulted and is not okay. She left with a couple of guys, and she absolutely is bawling her eyes out and doesn't know what happened, and they're just, and then it stops.
Yeah, the comment ended abruptly. The operator asked for his name, whether he was with the victim, and whether the attackers were there. He said they were not, and then provided an address to the 911 dispatcher. Then said of the woman, she just up all and beside herself. She can't even, like, talk right now. That's a quote from the transcript.
Yeah, the operator had asked how long ago the incident happened. The caller said he had returned about 5 minutes before the call, asked if he knew the victim. The caller said he didn't know who they were and couldn't ask the woman because she was so upset. After confirming that the alleged attackers weren't at the house, the operator said police would be sent. The identity of the alleged victim and whether she's also a student at the U is unknown. Now, here's where we kind of get into a little bit of specificity. Regardless of the criminal process, wrestlers could be subjected to additional investigation and penalties by the U's athletic department, right? They're subject to a university code of conduct that's more stringent than either state law or the code governing regular students. Now, I don't know whether or not that plays into them also being arrested and put in jail if one is coupled with the other. The two are subject to discipline at the discretion of the athletic director and could range from verbal warnings to dismissal. Now, Sunday, after the arrests became public, the athletic department issued a statement saying two athletes had been suspended from the team. The U didn't identify at the time the athletes or their sport. The Minneapolis police report on the alleged incident said the two sexually penetrated a victim with an object. The alleged victim's name was also redacted, but the report said the person received treatment at the hospital. Now, there was this is the attorney. This is Stevenson's attorney said this. Stevenson has continued cooperating with police, but cautioned against reading too much into the police report. She said the athlete, the statutes are broadly written, and that does not necessarily mean that what a lay person would assume. So that's coupled with that, what the action may have been.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this is where I'm very interested to know more details, because to me, what they're trying to allude to is this, the way that she may have been sexually assaulted, the way the language is so broadly written, your mind may jump to one conclusion, but that could mean a host of other things. I don't know what those things could be.
And the 911 transcript is so vague.
Right.
I mean, there's not a lot there to go on, and it sounds as if the alleged victim was incapacitated, you know, inebriated, intoxicated, whatever, you know, at least that's what I'm gleaning from the caller's end of the transcript, that she couldn't talk or describe what had happened. She was just very upset. So nobody obviously knows what happened except for the people that were there. But it sounds like there's at least a possibility that the person that called 911 might have jumped to some conclusions themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't
right.
know. I'm not going to sit here and try to pretend that I know or have some hot take on it one way or the other. I want more information to come out.
Right. And I agree. You can't help, but because of the stories that have been brought forward, both legitimate and both false, when it comes to college students, we're at a point now where these accusations are out there. There is damage already done to these individuals. We don't know whether or not that damage is potentially legitimate because they did do criminal wrongdoing, or
I mean, if they did what,
sure,
there's, you know, they're alleged of doing, then yeah, they need to go to jail.
There's a healthy level of skepticism necessary now because of the world we live in and how many false accusations have been made. And if this were to turn out, just for the sake of argument, if this were to turn out to be a rush to judgment, I'd be very curious, because again, these individuals, if that were the case, don't know, right? I'm specifying that, but just for the sake of speculation, if they were jailed for that many days and this was a misunderstanding, doing that thing with my fingers, I mean, there's a whole other host of issues that could be brought up about this.
651-989-5855, or use the hashtag TCNT. We got a few people that are calling in on this and some other stories. We will take your calls. And
11:30.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Welcome back. Your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew continues on. Coming up in the next segment, very much looking forward to a conversation with Raynard Jackson. I'm going to talk about the effect that the Trump administration has had on the black community, and whether or not they're going to he's going to perform better with that sect of the electorate than he did last time around.
Yeah, House is going to hold a hearing on slavery reparations. Candidates are embracing the same for slavery. Sheila Jackson Lee, others are hosting Danny Glover, that box office A-lister superstar of
he getting too old for that
of for that stuff of years past, right, on the subject of slavery reparations. And so we'll get his thoughts on that. He's the founder and chairman of Black Americans for a Better Future.
Very much enjoyed when he was sitting on the toilet bomb.
I love those movies.
Those are good movies.
They're fantastic. Fun. You know what I watched yesterday over the course of 2 days, because it's long, I hadn't watched in, oh gosh, I don't know, 10-15 years, was Heat. Forgot how good.
I don't think I've ever seen
that. Oh my gosh. Heat is, I think, at least it's the first movie, if not the last movie, where Al Pacino and Robert De Niro share a scene together. There's one moment in the film where those two are sitting in the booth of a coffee house at night, just chewing the seed. It's so good. It is so just a fan, because one's a bad guy, one's a good guy. Mm-hmm. And so this is them just sitting down as regular guys. I know you're a bad guy, you know I'm a good guy, and we're gonna talk this. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Yeah, I don't recall ever seeing that movie.
It's one of the odd movies where I saw it in the theater and I walked away hating it. I was like, oh, that was long, that was boring, and then I watched it again and I loved it. So weird. Yeah, so check that out. Danny Glover is not in that film. He was in Lethal Weapon movies, and I like the Lethal Weapon movies too. Wanted to bring it right back around.
We in Sam's top five, the last item was the St. Paul School Board voting to rename the Monroe High, the former Monroe High, now being known as Global Arts Plus. Al in Edina has called in with some comments on that. Good morning, Al.
Good morning. Boy, I wonder when this name changing is going to stop. There's a lot of schools named George Washington, aren't there? And wasn't he a slave owner?
I think you might be correct.
O'Shea Tower, wasn't it named after some guy who's connected with the mob or organized crime? Are they going to change the name of that?
It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
This is just crazy.
I'm sure somewhere.
I'd rather have the names and have come and have some a discussion about their background and discuss that rather than just erase it.
Yeah, of course.
That's the point. And thanks for your call, Al. That's the point. I mean, that's what should be happening.
It's not.
And there's a process involved in changing names. And you know, if that process is followed and most of the relevant community has an opportunity to chime in and their voices are heard and it's determined that the majority support the name change, fine, change the name. I don't really care all that much, you know, but at least follow the process and let people who are opposed to it have a voice and have a seat at the table. But all too often, you know, if you stand up and say, I don't think you should change the name of Lake Calhoun, it immediately devolves into, well, you're an apologist for slavery.
Yeah, you're off to Gitmo.
Yeah.
Pack your bags.
Off to Gitmo with
don't.
You. And that's where the frustration chimes, you know, sets in for me, is the immediate dismissal and the prescribing of the very, very worst possible motivations for saying, hey, you know, maybe pump the brakes on all this name change and stuff.
Well, and in the case of the Linwood Monroe's name change, the school's name change, a year ago, more than 700 people signed a petition to keep the Monroe name a part of the West 7th Street community.
Off to Gitmo with them.
Yeah, so apparently you just need to send 701 people to Gitmo when you include the one school board member who voted against it.
Not the biggest thing, but one of the biggest things for me is just the amount of time that gets wasted. When you look at all the amount of coverage of Bede-Makaska, Calhoun, Bede-Makaska, you know, the university naming controversy, this, just the amount of time, energy, and resources that is just wasted on something that at the end of the day makes no difference at all. It makes no difference if you change the name of Lake Calhoun. It makes no difference if you change it. It doesn't. Within a week's time, within a month's time, within a day's time, nothing has affected nothing except for you to mentally check mark off. I accomplished that social justice problem. I can move on to the next one now.
Right. Meanwhile, you're not actually addressing real problems. You know, this reminds me of your sort of typical like LA rich liberal.
Yeah.
You know, who all get together at their cocktail parties and talk about how virtuous they are and talk about how they have all the right opinions and they're, you know, and then they work on these things. And meanwhile, you know, 800 feet away, you know, you've got Skid Row filled with homeless people, drug problems, and feces all over the street because they don't want to tackle the hard problems. They want to tackle the symbolic ones that make them feel good.
This is a bad example, but it totally fits. So, as I've mentioned, I've been working through The Office again, and it was the Finer Things episode where the three of them sit. It's Pam, and then Oscar and Toby, and so they have a little time in the break room, and they have their posh little finger foods and their books, and they wear their nice clothes. They talk about the finer things, but it cracks me up because it's kind of what you were talking about. Because they're trying to have this very refined sort of meeting, and yet the staff keeps coming in to do all kinds of stuff, cook popcorn, or Kevin can't get stuff out of the machine, and it just disrupts their whole little world, with little pinkies up, finer things.
Brian in Winthrop, good morning.
Hello?
Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, see, I was just thinking, I'm not a great historian or anything, but during the Civil War, the Democrats, I think, wanted to keep slavery. So, seeing we're changing everything and getting rid of people that own slaves, can't we just get rid of the DFL then?
Hey, that's a great point, right? Getting rid of, if we're eliminating, groups and individuals and names that harken back to slave ownership and segregation and discrimination and all of those horrible things in our past. Yeah, the Democrat Party, they were the champions of that stuff back then. So, yeah, maybe we should just get rid of them.
Well, you know what?
Send them to Gitmo, too.
Everybody gets to go to Gitmo.
Yeah, we'll turn Gitmo into its own little state.
That is. Sit down with that. A little resort. All right. Well, we'll actually continue this conversation with Raynard Jackson. Again, he's the founder and chairman of the Black Americans for a Better Future. I'm very curious to get his thoughts on our own local story, but also we'll get into these House hearings on reparations and his view on where the Black community is heading with Trump heading into 2020.
3.5 FM.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Welcome back. Your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew continues on. Before we get to our guest, a former producer for Closing Argument, friend of the show, Brad, referencing the Gophers wrestlers, tweeted in using the hashtag TCNT. It says, the Gophers wrestlers were released after 36 hours. That specific time limit may be a policy at the county level, but it fails under a habeas corpus, which is in the Constitution. Prosecutors and cops have to have a reason to having you in custody. And that's kind of what I'm wondering about. Is there a little time window policy before that, detaining somebody without charges actually kicks in and starts to become unconstitutional? Or is it just, it just can't happen?
Yeah. The attorney certainly is taking a very moderate tone with all of this and not obviously pointing to them being incarcerated for the length of time, saying we're going to continue to cooperate. That makes sense, but doesn't really shed any light into...
Right, exactly. The fact that there weren't any charges would lead me to believe that they could have left at any time. They stayed for 36 hours is an indication of them cooperating.
Right.
But I don't know. We'll find out.
Very pleased to welcome to the show the founder and chairman of Black Americans for a Better Future, Raynard Jackson. Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Hey, John. Thank you so much.
Let's start here. I want to get your instinctive reaction on this. This is a Sam, our producer, has a top five things that we do in the first hour of the show. And number five on the list was this one. Out of the Star Tribune, the St. Paul School Board voted 6-1 Tuesday night to strip the name of a slave-owning U.S. president from one of its schools, overriding the vocal objections of some of the school's alumni. Linwood Monroe Arts Plus, a dual campus decades ago, was home to the former Monroe High, named in honor of President James Monroe, will now be known as Global Arts Plus. So, curious to get your instinctive reaction to yet another circumstance of a name being changed from a former prominent individual because they were past slave owners.
Well, John, here's my initial reaction. Weak people take strong positions on weak issues. Of all the things facing Minnesota, Minneapolis, that's the issue they're focused on, really. I mean, you have crime going rampant. You have schools not producing educated students. You have high taxes. You have people trying to have the government in every aspect of our life, and this is the issue they're focused on, really? So tell you what, why don't we also remove all the homosexuals in Minneapolis who we disagree with morally on their lifestyle choices? Let's make sure their names are removed from every plaque, photo, building, street, etc.
Let's dive into the current state of politics right now, especially when it comes to the black community. And again, we're curious to get your opinion and assessment of what's happening. There was also a story today in the top five talking about the there's a poll out, Trump better for black Americans than Obama, according to some of the polling story from PJ Media. We've had the opportunity to go see Candace Owens speak, and she's obviously been a part of Blexit. And your organization, the founder and chairman of Black Americans for a Better Future. Can you break down a bit of the sort of the perception that there's some change going on within the black community versus the reality? You know, what is there something tangible happening, in your opinion, in the black community positive towards President Donald Trump that will actually yield a difference in votes come the next presidential election?
The answer is no. There is no perception change. There is no change. The issue is, John, that the party, this administration, and conservatives have begun to pay a little bit more attention to the black community. But the what you're seeing reflected in the poll has always existed. But Republican or borderline incompetent when it comes to strategic communications to the black community, and the issue is not the philosophy or the value system relative to the black community. The issue is Republicans do not make black feel like they want us involved in the party and around them, and so that's the issue. So it's not the issue philosophy, not the value system. It's you all. When I say you all, the party doesn't make it comfortable for blacks to be a part of it.
What can they do to improve that? I mean, what would you recommend?
Well, number one, they need to find credible blacks who can go into the black community, who's a part of the black community, who can reinforce what President Trump said last night when he started ticking off a lot of the great economic news in the black community. Do you realize in 2.5 years, Donald Trump has done more for historically black colleges than Obama did in 8 years? Obama devastated the historically black colleges, whereas Trump has shored them up greatly, but they have been horrible at communicating those stories. And you got to have blacks with credibility, John. Having a black is not the same as having the right black around you. Mm.
Does when you mention, you know, the work that the Trump administration has done on behalf of the historically black colleges and those, is that recognized within those universities, within the communities on those campuses? Do they recognize it? Do they understand that the Trump administration has been beneficial to them? Is that message permeating at least within those campuses themselves, or do Trump supporters or Trump allies or people from within the administration need to do a better job of going to these campuses and speaking to the students?
Yes, yes, yes. I represent several major historically black college campuses, helping them with some government relations. And every HBCU president will tell you privately that they, meaning their schools, tend to do better when Republicans control things than when Democrats. Now, the issue is they are afraid to say that publicly for fear of retribution from members of the Congressional Black Caucus. And yet, there is no presence on all these campuses. Republicans do not go on these campuses and build relationships with their student body. They do not offer internships to these students. And so, again, as you know, John, politics is nothing but the art of personal relationships.
Yeah.
And we are horrible when it comes to building sustained relationships with the black community and effectively communicating with them. We have a story to tell. We have a message to give. But we keep sending in the wrong messengers from the black community. You got to have blacks with credibility.
Talking with Raynard Jackson, again, founder and chairman of Black Americans for a Better Future. Talk a bit. Give us your thoughts on how the House is going to hold a hearing on slavery reparations. You've got Sheila Jackson Lee and others hosting Danny Glover on this particular issue. Obviously something that a lot of the 2020 Democratic candidates have also been pushing out on the campaign trail.
Well, a couple of points on that. That was a poll released last week about the top issues of concern to the black community. You know what number one was? Access to capital. slavery had nothing to do, reparation had nothing to do with the top issues in the black community, number one. Isn't it amazing that in Obama's first 2 years, he controlled the House, the Senate, the White House, and they never had hearings on reparations? This is a political stunt by liberal Democrats who think black folks are stupid and that all they need to do is get the black community emotionally riled up and have superfluous hearings like reparations, knowing nothing is ever going to happen, nothing tangible will happen as a result of this, and this is supposed to make black folks go out and vote Democrat next year. If Republicans speak directly to the black community, I guarantee you, John, there's no reason why this president, Donald Trump, who got 8% of the black vote in 2016, cannot get 15, 20, 25% of the black vote. But it has to be done the right way.
Talking with Raynard Jackson, founder and chairman of Black Americans for a Better Future. You can follow him on Twitter. I tweeted out a link to his Twitter account using the hashtag TCNT. One more question for you. When you talk about the communication with the black community has to be done by not just, you know, people from the black community, but the right people, people with credibility. Can you provide us with some examples of like who you consider to be, you know, Trump supporting black Americans with that strain of credibility that you referenced?
Yep, I can give you a whole list of people, obviously starting with myself, Herman Cain, Robert Woodson, Aaron Manego, David Byrd, Michael Gunning. You want me to keep going?
Yeah, I mean, I'm genuinely curious. I don't know. I mean, those are all great names.
People who have presidential campaign experiences, gubernatorial, congressional campaign experience, they understand communication, and they are seasoned professionals. But what Republicans want to do, John, and I'm being very candid with you, they much rather go out and get a black that makes them feel good versus a black who know what the hell they're doing. You wouldn't hire a person to work with you on your radio show who you like personally but has no radio skills whatsoever. So it's the skill set as well as
hired me.
You happen to like them. That helps too.
What were your thoughts on there? It was an interesting watching the whole conversation around Kanye West, and certainly something that Candace Owens had embraced. And of course, he mentioned her and brought her to prominence quite a bit. But there was a lot of sort of back and forth from Kanye in and of itself. I'm curious to get your thoughts, Raynard, about Kanye in light of what you've just been saying.
Well, I do a weekly syndicated newspaper column, John, in over 200 newspapers. And if you do Google my name and Kanye West, I wrote a column in the middle of that situation. And the title of it was, I Was Kanye West Before Kanye West. And basically my point was, Kanye has not said anything I had been saying for 20 or 30 years, but because I'm not a celebrity like Kanye West, the party thought he was the second coming of Christ. And the Republican Party constantly picks blacks to be the flavor of the month. Candace Owens had her 15 minutes of fame, and now she's about to disappear. And you got to stop picking flavors of the month, John, and start picking people who know what the hell they're doing, who got credibility, and who understands messaging. And stop going after these shiny little objects like a kid on Christmas morning. Guess what? After he opens all those presents on Christmas morning, if you have any kids, John, you know after a day or two, the kid is looking at you like, Dad, I need a new toy. I'm bored with this one. And that's what Republicans do with black folks all the time. They look for the shiny new object, and then when they get bored of that, they go find a new flavor of the bump.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, and that's certainly not exclusive to Republicans. I mean, I think, you know, Democrats will do that as well. But, you know, to actually, you know, get a culture change, you do need people with gigantic platforms to, you know, to advance an issue. And even if it is a shiny new object and it does, you know, and it doesn't you know, last as long as you like, doesn't have the impact that you would like, though, you know, you can have and you know, you can have 1,000, you know, syndicated columnists, you know, saying one thing, but that necessarily won't have the same impact as someone with the stature and platform of a Kanye West saying something one time.
Well, that your scenario only works, John, when you have credibility in that demographic group. And what I mean by that is if the Republican Party had standing in the black community, to have a megaphone like a Kanye West would work miracles. I would agree with you. But because we have no standing, you get a knucklehead like Kanye West that goes off the deep end with all this over-the-top rhetoric. People look at that as a minstrel show. It's a buffoonish act, as opposed to Martin Luther King did not have a major platform back in that day. But what he did was had local grassroots people supporting him, and then mushroomed from the grassroots upward versus to from the top down. And what we need in this party is blacks in the local communities all across the country. And then you get that celebrity megaphone to reinforce what's already percolating from the ground, if that makes sense to you.
The website is BAFBF for the Black Americans for a Better Future, Raynard Jackson. You can also find him at Raynard1223 on Twitter. Thank you so much for the time this morning, sir. It was great speaking
with
you.
Thank you, John. Bye-bye.
Do we sound, use the hashtag TCNT, we sound different, right?
I
are there certain times when the tone just hits the same mark and it just whoop?
I don't know about you, but John, I mean, you're the only one on the show. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's not true at all. It's so weird.
It's totally true.
Happens.
There's nobody else in the room with you.
It happens. That's not helping at all. That's not
at all.
I don't.
It's just you. It's just you having a conversation with yourself most of the time.
I feel bad. I should not have asked the question. Now that's where that's going.
Before we talked with Rainer, we were referencing the Gopher wrestler story and the fact that they had been detained for 36 hours or so with no charges being filed. Friend of the show, Rob Dorr, has called in with some information on that front. Good morning, Rob. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you know, I don't have anything specific on that arrest, but you'd asked about why 36 hours. And there's two clocks that start when a probable cause arrest is made. The first one is the state clock, which is 36 hours. Now, the state clock doesn't include Sundays or weekends. And then there's the federal clock, which is 48 hours. And
I mean,
so
you're still detained. What do you mean it doesn't include Sundays or weekends? That's ridiculous that it doesn't include Sundays or weekends. It's not like time in jail sucks any less just because it's a weekend.
Yeah, well, and that's why the 48 hours is also there. When you arrest somebody, you have to do whatever is shortest. So if you're on a 3-day weekend or whatever, then you have to get out within 48 hours. Which is really weird about this is those probable cause arrests are usually made like in the actual action of the crime. So you catch somebody breaking in to a house, then you arrest them because you don't want them on the street destroying evidence, and then you gather the evidence, and that's why the clock is there. It's very unusual for an arrest to be made when it's not, in the heat of the crime, because they won't do the arrest until they're ready to file charges. It's usually one right after the other. That's what's interesting about this situation.
All right, thanks for the call, Rob. We appreciate it. Really, and thanks for hanging on the line. We'll get to more of your phone calls coming up. I see Don in Burnsville is on hold. So I think what Rob was saying is, so don't, based off the time frame, make sure you don't get arrested on a false charge like on a Thursday.
Late on a Thursday.
Late on a Thursday.
Early on a Friday morning.
You're screwed.
Like, sorry, these hours in jail don't count.
It's a weekend. Enjoy your time behind these prison bars.
651-989-5855. Don from Burnsville. Everybody else, stay on hold. We will